You'd be pleased to know I've only got a two-hour sermon this week, so yes, amen. Oh, no, it shouldn't be that one. Is there another PowerPoint on that pen drive or not? Have you not got it? Doesn't matter, we'd actually desperately need it, to be honest with you. If you could secretly look for it while we're reading the Bible, that would be great. Thank you very much. It's my last sermon, that. Maybe God wants me to preach that one again. Today we're looking at building for growth. And most of you will have got one of those little leaflety things, those sheets that were out. And if you haven't got one, could I borrow one, please? Thank you. Sorry. If you haven't got one of those, could you put your hand up? If you haven't got one, have you got one, Emma?
Me.
Did you get two? There we go, because we just need one or two people to share. I didn't realise our church had grown that much, so I'm sorry. I do apologise. I've given that out because I was listening to Rick Warren this week, and he was saying that 90% of most sermons, even the preacher forgets. But I think if you take that with you, that'd be good. It is the heart of God, the nature of the kingdom, and the purpose of the church to grow. Growth is not just desirable, it is unavoidable when we are united with Christ, because through him all things live, breathe, and have their being. We've heard the news of Indiana. Is Cole still with us? Indiana was born this week. And we've not seen Indiana, but I'm sure he's gorgeous. Oh, you found it. Well done. I love this. Some of these are church notices outside church. Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help. I love that one. Isn't it brilliant when you sort of, these well-meaning notices outside of churches, whether somebody's fabricated them or not, I don't know, but I think it's so funny. There was another one which I really love. It's, do you want to know what hell's like? Come and hear our preacher. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? I love them like that. If you just Google it, there's so many out there. I love the one about the Weight Watchers is my favourite one. Will all the Weight Watchers tonight use the big double doors at the side of the church? Isn't it? It's fantastic. But you know, we're talking here about the church building and growing and nurturing people. Obviously, that doesn't do it for us. But what does it take to grow a church? And it takes three things. It takes being united with Christ, being united with others, and being united with the Holy Spirit. And we said before, Indiana, no doubt, is gorgeous. It's cute, like all babies are. But if he got to 21, he was still the same size. And he still had the same needs, and still having those same needs being met in the same kind of way, you'd think, that's not right. That's wrong. And in fact, the child protection courses that I go on, the failure to thrive is one of the key indicators of neglect. That failure to thrive, when you see children who are actually, they're a bit thinner, and a bit smaller than they really should be. And it's heartbreaking. And it breaks God's heart when the church fails to thrive. From the moment he's born, Indiana is growing. The Lord wants OCF and each of us here to grow, just as any parent wants their children and their family to grow. He wants us not just to survive, but to thrive. And so the first one is that we need to be united with Christ. 29 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And when I did, it was so amazing. I wanted to knock on every door in the town. In fact, I did. We went round a little village where I live with a friend of mine, and we just knocked on all the doors, and we said, do you know that Jesus loves you? Because I just couldn't help it. It was just something within me. When I had that first love of God within my heart, it was that you have to. You have to do it. Like Andy was sharing before, you have to do it. And you get a buzz from doing, because the pieces had come together and I could now see a picture that I hadn't been able to see before. But not only did I have the desire to tell others about the great revelation, I wanted to know more myself. And so I read the Bible and I devoured it. I remember reading about, do you remember Chris Akabusi? Some of the kind of slightly older people in the room would know Chris Akabusi. And he became a Christian, and he was saying that that's what happened to him when he became a Christian. He just devoured scripture because he wanted to know about the one he loved and who loved him. I prayed, I worshiped like never before because of that first love Remember Andy sharing with us about that first, I prayed and I worshipped God. And not only did I want to see the kingdom growth and inner growth, but I also saw the way the hand of God had brought me to that point, and I was so grateful for everything. And my parents and my home and my heart began to give thanks so much because of what God had done and the gift that God had given to me. See, this week that's just gone, I've had a massive time of giving thanks to God and praise to God and glory to God. Why have I done that? Because this week has been so rosy? No, because this has been one of the hardest weeks that I've had so far in the school that I'm in. And I got to a point thinking, can I get through this week? And I'm at the point now wondering whether I can get through next week. So guess what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to give thanks and I'm going to give praise and I'm going to worship God, because that's what gets me through. And that's what gets you through the storm that you will face in your life. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week. What will get you through? It is being united with Christ as that witness to the world that when the enemy would try and push us down, we will stand up in Christ because our focus is on Him. And we do that by worshiping Him. Luke chapter 7 verse 11 is immensely powerful. We sang about it this morning. And it's the story of the widow of Nain's son. The widow who had lost her husband, who had no other children, and a son had died in a coffin. Imagine the desperation that she was feeling. And we were praying together, as Dave said on Friday, it was Emma praying for the mothers of the children who were suffering. And it says in Luke chapter 7, these are the words it says, the heart of Jesus went out to her. You know, you can tell if somebody is united with Christ because their hearts go out. Their hearts go out to people. And their hearts go out to encourage. Their hearts go out to forgive. Their hearts go out to heal. Because they are united with Christ. I thought, it's just so powerful. And then I thought, well, that's powerful. And then as I began to read it further, do you know what? Something even more powerful just hit me. It says this in Luke chapter 7. It says that he went to the son and he brought him back to life. It says the son sat up and began talking. And it says this, Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus gave him back. Jesus wants to give things back to you today. Things that you thought were dead, things that you thought were dying, things you thought you had lost. A life you thought was impossible, whether that's education, whether that's relationship, whether that's a future, whether that's a hope, things that have been robbed from you, God wants to give it back. Because he is a God of growth, he is a God of life, and he has the power of life and death in his hands. And not only does he want to give things back to you, but there are things in OCF that he wants us to get back. God wants to give back things to the church, give back things into people's lives and into our community. Maybe it is health. Maybe it is something that has just been taken away from you, things that have been lost. Maybe it's your morality. Maybe you feel a sense of shame about the way your life has been. God wants to give your life back to you. He wants to give you back your morality. He wants to give you back a backbone. For some of you, you have crumbled underneath circumstance or looked around at those around you and you're crumbling, and God says, lift yourself up. You are the answer. You are the solution. Lift yourself up in me. Be united with me, because together we can break the chains. Jesus wants to give things back. And I don't mind that Dave stole my thunder, but at this point I was going to read out the text again. I was going to read it. This has been recorded. Has anybody got it on their phone? Because I just want to read it back. Because God wants to give things back. And we were praying. And we were praying this week for Alice's sister, Sophie. And I know that Alice knows the Lord. And it's so great, wasn't it, that Alice would phone us up and say, can you pray? Can you pray for my sister, Sophie? Because she's got a bleed on the brain. The other one, I think. Is it called a contusion? Is that right? Or the... Yeah. And so we prayed and we met on Friday night, as I've said before, and we were praying for a number of people, for Adrian's family and a number of other people. And just believing in God, we were uniting with Christ together, uniting with each other, and uniting with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of healing. And I don't know if you know much about bleeding on the brain, but isn't that what Liam Neeson's wife died of? You know, this, we're not talking about a small thing here. We're talking about a family in tears. And we're talking about a desperate situation. I hate these phones. I've kind of lost it. You've messed it up. And things like that. Thank you. And so when we got this text, as we were saying the other, it keeps changing around or something. It says here, from Alice, your prayers have worked miracles. Sophie's off the ventilator and breathing by herself. She also smiled at us and mouthed words. You know, how awesome is our God? How amazing is our God? God, where the world would say death, we say life. Because we're united with Christ. So what happens next when Jesus is involved? It says this, this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. You're the God man. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority, the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and its sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Grows as God causes it to grow. Can you see death in the church? Can you see death in your life? What do you need to do? Get united with Christ, get a backbone, and start attacking it. Because as Emma was saying before, and I felt this when we were praying on Friday night, so this is not a defense. We're not defending ourselves against the enemy. We're attacking him. Right. We're on the offensive, but we can only do that when we are united with Christ. We're united with Christ when we have all his fullness and we have it for growth. He fills us up as we maintain our walk with him and unite ourselves with him in prayer and loving acts towards others. As we worship and give thanks to him, we grow because we are being nourished by being united with him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, the way, the truth, the resurrection, and the life. Is he that for you? And is that making a difference in your life and to the people around you? Because if he's that for you and you keep it to yourself, so I just feel good. How useless is that? Which brings us to our second point. How do we grow? By being united with others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. I promised that I would talk to you about our new structure as a church. As leaders, we've been looking at the new structure for growth that was going to lead us forward into a new season that God has got for us. And I'm not going to spend valuable time on a Sunday going through all the details and all the bullet points and everything about how it's all going to work. But I do need to give an overview so you know where we're up to and so you can pray. And so you can pray with wisdom for the church that you're part of and that you are committing yourself to. There's lots of different ways of doing church. We're not saying this is the one way. But it's only that it is the best way for us at this time. So I'm going to outline it briefly. And over the next few weeks and months, we're going to unpack it in more detail as we share it with you through sermons. This is how we intend to build for growth. But I want you to be aware that growth comes not from structure. That only supports growth. Growth comes from the heart's intention to be united with Christ and to live like Christ. So, at OCF, we have a senior leader, and at the moment, that's me, for those who don't know. And the senior leader seeks God for vision and direction for the church. The senior leader is supported by a core leadership team, and they are the people who clarify and implement vision with the senior leader in strategic and creative ways. And they also contribute to vision through thinking creatively. So you need people who can think a little bit. about how to spread the good news of Jesus. They are made up of people who may have different skills, but they come together as a team to put into practice the things of God. Then alongside the senior leader and the core group leadership team, we're setting up an eldership team, which may have many associations for many people. But for us, it is a group of people who are discerners and guardians of sound doctrine and living. And they ensure that the congregation are protected, supported, growing spiritually, pastorally, and in every other way by holding the senior leader and leadership team to account, and also through taking a role in more critical pastoral situations or contentious issues of doctrine. Other churches call these people a board of directors or governors, but their role is to bring wisdom. They are separate from the core leadership team. They are separate from the senior leader, even though people from those teams will be on the eldership team. We're not going to tell you this morning who they are. We're just going to tell you that's what we're going to do. In addition to all this, we're encouraging people to step up to ministry leadership. If you've been in the church for more than a year, you need to be serving. If you've been in the church for more than a year, now I can understand people coming along, having a little bit of a look. Sometimes people go through things in their life and things happen, don't they? But if you're not serving in the church and you've been here for more than a year, is this the place for you? Because the Bible is quite clear. That is the expectation, and we're going to talk about that at some point in the future. But we want people to step up to ministry leadership, to take initiative, to develop their giftings in OCF, to make advances for God's kingdom through ministry and ministries. It's also our belief that growth best happens through small groups, and when friends get together to challenge each other and encourage each other. So we'll be encouraging an increase in small groups, and we do have life groups, and a number of people are getting together. We've got the Foundations group that Karen's running, and we've got various other groups happening. It's fantastic, because that's where we can encourage one another. And they may vary in size and in location and in time, address various issues, but they will all be focused on growth to become more like Jesus. This week Karen was challenging me in a nice way. You can challenge in a nice way, you know. It's fantastic, isn't it? It just sent me a text and just said, Mike, could you remember last week I stood up and said, Karen, you've got to challenge me about my prayer life. She did it. It's great. In fact, I picked up Tom. Is Tom in here? I picked up Tom on Monday morning on the way into work and dropped him off. And he said, oh, by the way, Mike, did you pray this morning? And I said, yes, I did. It made me feel good, you know. If I hadn't done, then I would have done the next morning. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, there's people in the church. They're asking me. They're challenging me. Am I praying? But you know what? It was so good. Did me such good. So good. And then I was able to say to Karen, do you know what? Yeah, I've done a lot better this week. But get to Thursday and Friday, I'm exhausted. I find it really hard to wake up in the mornings and just have that special time with God. So I want to really work on that. No, I'm sure Karen is going to be praying for me on Thursday and Friday. But Thursday, Fridays. Okay. But what about other things in our lives? What about pornography? Have you been looking at pornography this week? Do you know what? I'm raising the bar again, aren't I? What about this week? How have you been doing with your eating? Mike, have you been exercising? Mike, what are you doing about your relationships? Now, I'm not saying we're at that level yet, but I'm saying we need to get there, because do you know what? It's not down to Dave and me to go around the whole church asking people, how are you getting on with your pornography issue? Sorry, no, only because it's obviously not an issue.
No, that's I all. Do not have pornography issue.
Couldn't pick on anybody else, could I? That's all right. I tell you why. If you don't tackle me on that, do you really care about me? Are you really bothered about my walk with God if you don't start tackling me on some of these issues? It's all right, Mike's got that little bit of an issue over there, but you know, he looks all right on a Sunday. Do you care about my walk with God? Do you care about the fact that there may be shame and there may be guilt and there may be reasons why that's happening? Do we care about one another? Can we substitute challenge for encouragement? Say, I'm with you and I'm for you. I want us to be a church that is honest, without pride, and is supportive without judgment. Can we do that? I wasn't planning to say all that. I don't know what happened there. A crucial new development for us in OCF will be the introduction of membership. Bang! Membership. And this is going to be for those who want to commit themselves to OCF, or for those who want to find out what OCF is all about, doing a membership course in which we will outline the structure and the beliefs of those who are committed to OCF and what our expectations are of those members. It's a course that will be running in a few weeks' time. We'll be asking people to sign up to coming along to it. We're starting with all the leaders, just to make sure they're members first. So we're going to start with the current leaders. And it's for you to find out who we are and for us to find out who you are. Because we've had people in the church for sometimes a number of years and think, who are the leaders? Or how does that work? Or how does that, well, what if it all goes wrong? What happens then? Yeah, well, that's what this course is for. We're going to tell you what it's all about and what our vision is, what our mission is, what our structure is, and then what our values are. Because underpinning all of this are four key values that we want to see happening in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, that we believe God is calling us to explore and to live by as a whole church. And we haven't got time to unpack them now, but we will be unpacking them. And those four values are this: commitment, openness, risk, and excellence. And those four key values, within those four key values, we will unpack what we believe God wants of us as a church. And you should be seeing it in the leadership team first. And I really want to tell you about them, but I can't, okay? So we've got them in a sermon series a little bit later on. We're going to be praying about who God wants to appoint into these teams over the next few months. So pray for them. Pray for us as we seek God for who should fill these crucial roles. And in due course, we'll let you know who we are, where we're up to. But I want you to be assured of this, that God wants to use every single person in this room to build his kingdom in some way or another. We're all in the business of growing the kingdom of God. So if you don't get approached to be an elder or a leader, do you know what? You are vital to the growth of this church. On that table over there, I've put an outline of everything that I've just said, and that's for you to take away and pray about, please. So if you want to take it away, you don't have to take it, but if you want to take it with you and you want to pray about it and you want to just get it clear in your heads about where we say we're going, there's a few other bits of information on there, then please take that with you and pray. And we'll be coming back to you over the next few weeks and let you know how we're getting on. God wants us to be united with each other, with hearts that go out towards one another, hearts that would encourage one another and urge each other on towards living more and more and more like Christ. And lastly, we need to be united with the Holy Spirit. Wasn't it great this morning? Wasn't it great? I don't have to say the next bit. I can remember coming to OCF 30 years ago and hearing about the power of the Holy Spirit, reading about the power of the Holy Spirit, studying scriptures about the power of the Holy Spirit, and realizing I needed the power of the Holy Spirit. It says this: when Jesus was about to go away in Acts, and Dave referred to this, he said to his disciples, "Wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will grow." He doesn't use the word grow, but that's what he meant. Okay, grow. And we see the Holy Spirit arriving at a distinct time in a distinct way that was clear and obvious and apparent both to them and to everyone around them. When the Holy Spirit comes, you know it. And if you don't know it, then seek him. Seek him. Seek him. I remember I was filled with the Holy Spirit and Jim prayed with me, one of the guys who led the church, and I didn't feel anything at the time, to be honest with you, but then I woke up the next morning. Wow, it was like the world had changed. It was like I knew God loved me. I knew that he knew me and that I knew him, and he knew that I knew him. It was just, that's what it was. You know, the Holy Spirit brings a revelation of relationship with Father God. It brings a revelation of Jesus. He brings a revelation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is that God within you. It's awesome. The Holy Spirit. So if you don't know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you know that you were once upon a time, but I don't know what's happened, but you know, you kind of leaked a bit, then just get filled up. Peter stood up, having been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he addressed the crowd that he had previously been afraid of. And after he had finished speaking, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You'll be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. Well, that's it, isn't it? Jesus himself described the Holy Spirit as the one who empowered even him to do the works of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news. The writer to the Hebrews talks the power of the Holy Spirit for growth in chapter 2, verse 3. This salvation, he says, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The Holy Spirit is essential for inner growth, for personal transformation, for understanding scriptures, for the growth of the church. I can remember a while ago, I've shared this once before, I was printing off a sermon. Yeah, it's a kind of a message, working on it, usually last minute like I do. Graham gets about 20 copies of my sermons because I send him the first draft and the second draft and then the third draft, and sometimes they get bigger and sometimes they get shorter. It was actually longer today, wasn't it, Graham? And I was printing it off, but I'd forgotten to get a new ink cartridge. And I had this amazing message. And the message was ready to be printed, so I clicked print like that. But what came out was just faded words and lines, and some words were missing. And I was squinting, you know, sort of struggling to see. Can I read that at church? This amazing message that should have been there clearly for everybody. We can have a great Saviour and a great message about that Saviour, but if we're not being filled daily with the Holy Spirit, then the message will be faded in our lives. And people will not see it, and it will not become obvious to those around you unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, because he is the power for the salvation of the world that Jesus gave to us. He didn't say, it wasn't just like when Jesus was praying for disciples, he said, well, you can have the Holy Spirit if you want to, or you can just stick with me, and then if you stick with me, then that'll be all right. But it's not an add-on. You know, Jesus doesn't do add-ons. It's not like a luxury. It's not like the luxury liner of Christian life. It's not like, you know, all these kind of, suddenly these amazing Christians are the ones filled with the Holy Spirit and all these other Christians aren't. He wants everybody to be filled to overflowing, as we've said already this morning, with the Holy Spirit. Full stop. No condition. No qualification. Everybody. I'm going to finish with John chapter 7, verse 37. If you want to turn to that, very short passage. John chapter 7, verse 37. I'm going to have to stand here to read it because I haven't got my glasses. No, you're right. I'm not wearing yours. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. I like that. Kind of describing his diet. He said in a loud voice, and it'll be louder than the one I'm going to use because I'm quite a gentle person. But I don't think Jesus was. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit. Let's pray. I know that the service this morning has been quite a long service, and there's been a lot that's been said. But every single thing has been vital. There are some people in this room, you need to be united with Christ. How can you tell? Well, is your heart going out? You need to be united with Christ. How can you tell? Does your life match that of Christ? You need to be united with Christ, because those who are will grow. There's others in this room, you need to be united with the church, with others in the church. You're dawdling around on the edge. And God is calling you, and he's saying, what will you do on this planet with your life at this time? And God is calling you to be united with others, and maybe that's because you need challenging. Maybe you know you need to be in an accountability relationship because there's something in your life that you just need to be honest about. And you need help. And you need to share without pride so you can receive support without judgment. And there's others here in this room, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about it already, but you know, we're not going to stop calling out for that. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because it is the only way that you can possibly live the Christian life that Jesus is calling you to. And so we're going to pray now as we open up our hearts. Holy Spirit, come into our lives again. Holy Spirit, bring a revelation of your word. Bring a revelation of Jesus into our lives, into our church, into our community. Fill us again because we know, Lord God, we've run dry. Holy Spirit, we need you every day. Lord, we pray that for this afternoon, that tomorrow morning we would give thanks because we're inspired by you, that we would live each day with you no matter what we're having to face, no matter where we are. Holy Spirit, we need you to guide us, to show us, to convict us, to challenge us, to encourage us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come again and fill us up and help us because we cannot do it in our own strength. It is only by being filled with you, Holy Spirit, that we can possibly face the next day with the joy that you call us to face it with. Lord, we pray for a joy that comes from knowing you. We pray for a joy in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.